Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us again today. And I am really excited about today's guest because he's family. That's always a bonus. But because he's already kind of getting, I guess, his career already jumping, and he just graduated from college. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I please introduce to some and present again to others, Mr. T.J. Pursley. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing, Penny?
I am fine, thank you. And so... you can tell he's family because, you know, use the family nickname, of course. But anyway, and speaking of which, because I know how it is when you're trying to transition from, you know, your youth and being taken seriously as an adult, and you're trying to use the – so are you still using TJ or what are you doing?
I still go by TJ. I put that on my resume.
You do? Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I want to make sure the name is out there properly. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
You have finished your college career. Talk a little bit about that experience, because we did talk before when you were kind of midway, because that's when COVID kind of jumped off, and I know there were, like, a lot of rearranging of things. And for someone like you who is in theater, it's a little difficult to try to do theater via Zoom, although I know you did some stuff that way. But can you talk about how this all, you know, culminated for you, the transition into, you know, the COVID era, and then how you've made your way now? So can you talk about that?
Definitely. So I think we kind of touched on this last time I was on here, but, you know, we went for spring break that spring semester, and we never came back, and we switched to Zoom, and it was, like, obviously really difficult for, you know, my program to adjust to online, because no one really planned for it, and, my professors themselves were pretty blindsided by the situation. It was about like 2 weeks before anything even started happening again, assignment-wise, because we kind of had to change the whole format. All of our things are based on, they're all performance-based classes, and so without that element, you kind of have to teach a different thing, which in some ways I suppose it was good. It got more attention on different things. You know, that was a very heated summer on all accounts all around the world, and it definitely brought a lot of light to some shortcomings that my school had in terms of how it was treating its Black students. And in that, I think just us being home forced us to have a lot more conversations around it. A lot of alumni ended up coming out of the woodwork, bringing up things going on in my school. And so I will thank the pandemic in that, in a way, it kind of forced a lot of changes to happen at my school that needed to happen. But, like I said, it did change what we were learning at the time. And I think by fall, they had kind of reworked how to do some classes. So some things were going to be like half a class was taught in the fall online, and they were going to teach half of it in person. The next spring, that was like how a lot of classes were going. It was like an altered version of the class because we could not perform without masks still. And I kind of felt like my education was being shortened from that, the experience from it, just because, you know, a performing degree, at least a theater degree, is not necessarily something that you have to go into the field. It's more so about your training than your degree, I think. And so I valued my specific training a lot. And so I wasn't really okay with how my performance classes had been kind of adjusted. And so I kind of just changed up my whole schedule. I ended up taking a lot more gen ed classes. And improve my grades in other ways. I did like a Zoom internship that was a part of my degree that might have happened my senior year. I ended up doing it early. Things like that just to make the best use of my time while I was going to be on Zoom. And then came back and finished my performance classes, which, you know, I may have graduated a little earlier had I done that version, but I think I made the right decision just for the training that I needed to get out of it. I definitely needed like my full in-person year of performance-based training. And it came out a lot for the better. I ended up only having two classes with my theater program this year, like, and one was offered in the fall and one was in the spring. I couldn't be like a part-time student necessarily. So I picked up a dance minor, which I might not have done otherwise. So I think I also got to direct a show this year while I had this a little bit of extra time in my school class curriculum. So in ways, it definitely did it definitely affected how the 4 years was going to go, but I don't think that it stunted it necessarily. I think what needed to happen happened, you know, because of it. And I can't ask the world to change its circumstances on that, you know? But I feel really good to be graduating where I am now. I've got my first professional acting job coming up in Miami. I'll be doing Bob Marley's Three Little Birds with Miami City Theater. It's going to be at the Adrian Arch Center, June 22nd to July 9th. And I don't
jumped the
gun
on me. I was going to say that you jumped
the
gun on me. We're going to talk about that, but yeah. And I know you're trying to focus because you are headed back from Central Florida down to South Florida.
I'm going to Miami right now.
Yeah, you are. So please be careful. Now, also too, just let's talk about that. You went to Florida Atlantic University, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that was not necessarily your primary choice in terms of originally. But then did it work out better than you thought or about the same or worse? Or can you talk a little bit about that experience? Because I too was one of those people that I thought I was going to go further away from home, and I kind of went about an hour and 15 minutes down the street, more or less. So you went a little further than I did, but your home base still was Florida. And especially being in theater, a lot of people think you have to go to New York or somewhere in order to get, a comprehensive theater education. Tell me about that mindset in terms of how you felt about that and how it worked out.
I think I couldn't have understood necessarily what location, I guess, had to do with it and the specific school had to do with it until I had started, you know, because, no, you do not have to be in New York to work in theater, to be a great actor, to get, like, great training or anything like that. But definitely, like, I guess the high school route when you're pursuing theater in college, you know, for the best program. A lot of people like different schools because of their reputation, just because of the actors that have come from those schools. And a lot of schools do have a lot more closer connection to helping you network. A lot of schools will have you audition for a lot of agencies at the end of your 4 years. A lot of schools, different schools, you know, just have different connections to bring you in contact with people you might not have known before. And I think mm-hmm. that is where I think a bit of the hierarchy comes in with theater universities. And I can't speak for everyone in that situation, but what I have learned from that. However, I think the choice, you know, while it definitely was not my first choice going into things, however, but I ended up choosing Florida Atlantic University actually at the very last day at that very last deadline. And I'm actually very glad I did it because, one, I didn't know. I think I learned a lot more about where I was as an actor. And I think that if I had gone into some like super prestigious, you know, cut program, that is also a lot of programs. They have you re-audition for your spot, within their BSA list, per semester, and they will cut you if they think you're not improving as much as the other students, things like that. And like in hindsight, I don't think I was prepared for that kind of, incredibly competitive environment. I think it would have distracted from my learning if I was more concerned about, you know, competing with my colleagues, with my fellow peers. We're supposed to be learning together. And I think South Florida in general ended up a lot better for me. It was a lot better to be, you know, 3 hours from home rather than 12, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. So
there's a lot more
theater
in Orlando than I knew it was going to be there.
Right, right. So it made you bring your A game in terms of, like you were talking about, that fear of getting cut. It's like, oh, I got to step this up. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
serious business. This is my future livelihood, you know. So
it really is. And there's another, I guess, I think there's another element, I guess, to theater education in terms of like your relationship with your professors, because at the end of the day, these people are going to be your best advocate after you graduate. A lot of people will call them. I've already had people call my professors and ask what they thought about me as a student, how they think I'm going to work going forward. Cause you know, hopefully if your institution, you know, does well in that sense, your professors are working actors or were working actors and still have that connection into the industry and will be a credible name to you. And so I guess that's another element, I think, is that you kind of are always auditioning. You're always trying to represent your best self because you have no clue what anyone might think of you after you go.
So how did your I guess colleagues do? I mean, I'm sure you had some that you bonded with more than others, and how did they fare? I understand, for example, and like I said, we'll get more into that later. The production that you're getting ready to do, you have a classmate that is also involved in that same production. So how did you see their careers mold and shape and grow as they got closer to graduation?
I've been privileged to, you know, have all kinds of friends at SAU since I got there. It's another reason I'm really glad I ended up there, because I don't think I would have, you know, made the connection or met the people that I did. And
mm-hmm.
I think I'm very much all the better for it. And I've had the privilege to see a lot of my friends graduate and go on to work constantly in the industry, to go on to direct themselves and things like that. I cannot speak very specifically, I guess, for all my peers, how they're going,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so happy that I'm in my first professional show with someone I know and love very dearly, Noelle Nicholas. Is going to be playing Sidella in the show. And so I'm very excited to be working with her on that. I actually got to work with her last fall on a production of Dream Girls. She played Effie and that was a show that I co-directed with my student org, the Black Undergraduate Theater Collective. We started that during the pandemic, that stuff that I was telling you about earlier. And I think we're kind of at a point now where our careers have to be what we make of it. At the end, it's still a very entrepreneurial career in the sense that we have to kind of create a lot of our own opportunities. And I've seen, I hope, I pray my peers can do the best with that they can. And I've seen them grow a lot in these 4 years, as I hope I have. So I think everyone's going to be great. I think everyone's going to be just fine.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I do want to ask you about the collective. So you are you okay? You good?
I'm doing good.
You know, I'm the hovering older cousin, so, you know, forgive me for that. Anyway, we are here with TJ Pursley, recent graduate from Florida Atlantic University, and getting his career off, his theater career off the ground. We're going to talk more with him when we come back. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, and I am privileged and blessed to have a young man on that has I've known him all his life. I'm going to be one of those old people. But he has just graduated Florida Atlantic University, and he is getting his career off the ground. His name is TJ Pursley. And I wanted to ask you to get into the specifics about the collective. Can you talk about what it is, how it came to be, and the purpose?
Definitely. So the idea of the collective was born, I think this was my sophomore year. We were doing a production of For Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Was Not Enough. And it was the first play by a Black playwright that had been produced at FAU. And we didn't realize this until we had been going into production, you know, and we realized that we had something really important there in that production. And we received a lot of pushback with our theater department just trying to get the play up on its feet. We would lose our rehearsal spaces a lot just from rules that we did not know existed within our, like, student production realm, rules that we didn't really know we had to adhere to until rehearsals started. Our performance run kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And so we had a really hard time getting the production up, but it did get up, and, you know, it spoke volumes to the campus. And we had a lot of students and alumni alike and faculty, you know, really grateful to us for seeing this production through and bringing that to FAU. So we kind of saw a need for a representation of the Black students at FAU, because we make up such a big portion of those students. We have a very diverse campus, but a lot of the shows and the cast did not necessarily reflect that. And so we wanted to create a space where we could do, you know, work that spoke to us a bit more without necessarily having to work under the the theater department's administration. We wanted to be able to act pretty independently of them. And so that's what we did. And it's honestly been like one of the best decisions that I've made at SAU. It's been very fulfilling to me to see that grow and become something of its own. My e-board now is doing even bigger things than I thought. The production of Dreamgirls I was talking about last fall, that was also with the Black Undergraduate Theater Collective. We brought in a lot of that's what I was going to tell you about. with the summer that we kind of had to bring all these allegations to the forefront of the school, that all started because we had asked the school to basically in some kind of way acknowledge the Black Lives Matter, because we were all home online, and every individual college at FAU, FAU itself had made some form of statement to acknowledge that it stood with its Black students, and that they were acknowledging, you know, wrongs that had happened within the facts. And we asked our theater department to do the same thing, and they were not able to do that. And wow. Not necessarily by action of our own. In response to this, a lot of alumni of FAU, Black alumni, alumni of color, kind of came forward all at once on behalf of us, sharing their own testimonies of situations that had happened with them at the school. And so my club kind of became a forefront of negotiating a lot of the changes that needed to happen. We presented like a 10-point plan of things that we kind of wanted to see change at FAU. Like, we wanted to see some kind of material in our classes that reflected artists of color, playwrights of color, artists, actors of color, because they exist. There's, you know, Broadway is not an entirely white career field and never has been. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, that was really important to us, and that was something that we presented after all these allegations came forward and the school kind of had to listen to us. Another thing we really wanted to see was a Black professor. We didn't have any at the time. We still don't have a tenured Black professor, but we needed one of our educators to be of color. It felt like that alone would help a lot of the issues that we are seeing. And so we kind of had to demand that for a really long time. And I'm just really glad, I guess, that the world was speaking with us at the time and kind of forced those changes to be implemented. Mm-hmm. You're kind of forced to be heard in that sense. And I'm really glad that happened. I think it changed. I'm really glad I was able to leave that kind of lasting impact on FAU. And my club is still going. It will still go, hopefully, I pray, to do bigger and better things.
Okay, so we need to add activist to your resume. So that's cool. That's cool. So now you also mentioned that you took on a dance major. Why did you go that direction? A minor, sorry.
Like I said, the way that classes were going when we came back, there was two in particular classes that I wasn't really comfortable splitting into two different semesters to be like half virtual and then they're present, but like it was an altered version so that we could be safe around COVID, obviously. But I knew that it was dramatically less of the training experience than what the class had been offered originally. And so I just kind of decided that I would rather wait and readjust the schedule of the classes that I was taking online so that I could take those classes on campus in person. But it worked out, unfortunately, that only one was offered in the fall, one was offered in the spring. It didn't make any sense for me to be taking one class a semester down there. And so to fill the rest of my time, I decided to pick up a dance minor for the year.
Okay.
So I could remain like a full-time student at FAU.
I got you. And so can you talk a little bit about that? Is it ballet? Is it, what type of dance is it that you took?
So I took a ballet class. I was able to supplement this into a year just because I had taken some dance classes before. Mm-hmm. But it consisted of a ballet class, a jazz class. I took a modern class this fall and spring. I took a musical theater and tap class last spring. Those were great. That's another thing that I'm really appreciative of.
You started some tap before you left to go to college, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
I did a production of 42nd Street at my high school, and we submitted it to, like, the state main stage and stuff, so I ended up doing that production for, like, nearly a year. So one way or another, I ended up learning to tap.
Okay. All right. So, and, I mean, do you think you're going to push that more, or you're still going to just stick with musical theater mostly?
Musical theater mostly. I really wanted to pick up the minor only to aid my performance career.
Okay.
I'd never had taken dance very seriously until I went to college. And I just kind of started realizing that you kind of have to be a triple threat nowadays to be notable in the musical theater realm, to really be considered like that. And I felt like it was kind of holding me back that I was not the best dancer necessarily. I couldn't pick up things incredibly fast, but I had been able to kind of rely on my acting and my vocal abilities for a long time, and I just wanted to kind of supplement that so I could present myself as a lot more well-rounded of an actor.
Okay. Speaking of the vocals, is that something that you plan on pursuing, let's say, in outside of the theater, like as possibly doing some recordings?
Oh, I would love to record something. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
I don't write any music. That's the main block there, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
I'd certainly be interested in recording using my voice. I love to sing. That was my first love. I started singing in church when I was a wee child. and I still do. That's something I want to continue doing all my life, honestly. Whatever facet that is in, I will do so. I'm going to keep singing in the church like I do.
mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll keep singing on stage. I pray.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break before I go into the next phase of our conversation, because I want to ask you more about the directing aspect that you've delved into and how that kind of differs from being directing. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of our break. We're here talking with TJ Pursley. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have any questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are interviewing one of my favorite people, TJ Persley, who just graduated from Florida Atlantic University and is making his start on his career, outside of he's been doing stuff outside of college anyway, but he's officially done with college now and is officially, I guess you could say, a full-time career person. Oh, are you planning on continuing your education, in college? Or are there other pursuits that you want to have in college, and will you do it there at Florida Atlantic, or what are your thoughts?
I have considered going to grad school for acting or voice for a long time. And I was considering auditioning right out of undergrad, but this 4 years has been a marathon, I feel like. And I feel like I didn't stop running until May 6th, until graduation day. And so I think I need to just take a little break from being in school right now. I'm not that I would never go back.
Mm-hmm.
To school, I'm definitely still interested in getting an MFA if that opportunity came to me, but I'm not rushing that right now.
I can truly understand. I can understand. So I want to talk about the directing part. Was that always a part of the plan, or was that just something that kind of you decided to pursue as another, like you said, in order to be that triple threat?
It really had never been a part of the plan for me, really and truly.
Okay.
But last year, I became the vice president of the Black Undergraduate Theater Collective. My close friend Jayla, who co-founded it with me, became president at the time. And, you know, she expressed that she really wanted to do Dreamgirls the musical. We really wanted to see that happen on FAU's campus. And we really wanted to give a lot of the students the Black students of FAU that would thrive in that kind of a production, that opportunity. And so we went on to do that. And we had a lot of issues just contractually getting the show forward. And it ended up being a lot pushed back the actual performance. And our cast ended up changing a lot. Not that all the cast could necessarily accommodate with the time changes of everything. And I ended up stepping into the role of Jimmy before we came to premiere. But it was honestly a very enriching experience. I think I have a lot more understanding about what I need to do, what my job is as an actor going forward, and I really want to take it as that as much as I can. I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. It was not an easy task for me. The first thing you should never do is direct yourself in a show. And I mean, I'm glad that's the last thing you should ever do. Because it takes away from your own experience as the actor and then as the director. You know, you kind of have to have two brains in that sense, and one of them is going to always get the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed that leadership position, and I think I was able to see kind of a lot more what kind of little details go into creating what specific big picture you want to see. The production. So I really enjoyed that. I learned a lot from it. And my co-director, Jayla, also wonderful, amazing.
Okay.
I hope we work together in the future again. But, you know, neither of us necessarily had a whole lot of experience going into it in the first place. You know, so it was a learning experience for everyone, I think.
Do you see yourself doing more of that in the future, or you want to kind of stick mainly to the acting part?
I really would like to stick mainly to the acting part. I'm not against directing at all. I enjoyed it. And I do think I came to learn that I don't think I'm a horrible director, but I know I would need to be provided with all the resources, you know, to do a really good job without necessarily having to be responsible for making up for anything else. You know, I need to be the director. Someone else is on cast and making sure everyone's on time, and someone else is on working on the music. You know, I want to have one job and not have to be also responsible for the resources to get the production up at the same time. Like what happens with a lot of companies, local theater companies, community theater companies, is, you know, they have the drive, the interest, and the heart to do these productions, but they don't necessarily have the people or the financially the resources to hire someone for all these individual positions. And so a lot of times you see one person wearing 3, 4, 5 different hats in a show, you know, having to make up for the responsibility of a lot of things that should be just a whole nother person's job. And so it's not as common as you think that a theater company will have the resources to have that full of a production team. But that is definitely what I would require to direct anything again.
Do you, gosh, I lost my train of thought, but I was going to ask you, do you plan on making Florida your home base in terms of your endeavors here, or are you looking to move somewhere else, or are you just making yourself available for whatever comes?
I'm an actor. I have to move with the wind.
Okay.
I definitely wanna. I do wanna stay in Florida for the time being, at least. I'm not saying I'm never gonna be interested in leaving. You know, I have to let that opportunity come first.
Okay.
But as of now, however, you know, New York is never too far out of my sights.
Okay. All right. If you had a preference, is there a particular type of role that you would prefer to do? I've seen you in a couple
singing.
Of things. One that you're singing.
I really
Okay.
I love to sing. I'm always gonna have preference for musicals to plays. That's just in me, obviously. I'm not sure. I for a really long time, I never saw myself as a main character, you know, an ingenue type of actor. Definitely going into school, I saw myself as like very much a character actor. I can do the funny, comical sidekick. And I still think that is, you know, my wheelhouse. I do it quite well, I think. But definitely at least this last year of school and the experiences I've had, you know, coming into graduating, I really want to play the lead, you know? I'm really trying to be the lead nowadays. I think I can do it.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that you've evolved that way and your confidence has grown in that, because that's truly, truly important. To, you know, I mean, anybody can tell you anything, but it's important that you have that confidence and self-assurance about what you can and can't do, you know. So that's a great thing. So now you talked about sidekick. So that sounds more like comedy versus any type of serious roles. Is that also what you think more your wheelhouse is more of?
You know, Penny, I say this also with the knowledge that, you know, as we all know, I've just graduated all of 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm doing my first production now, in which, you know, I myself am 21 years old. I'm playing an 11-year-old boy in this show.
You got that baby face. You can do it, but...
I say that to say that there are no such things as small roles Truly, as an actor, all I want to do is work. All I want to do is know that someone wants to use me and that I'm going to be in a show. I've never been that beholden to, like, the size of my role in a show.
Okay.
But what you're asking about comedy and serious work, I love a good comedy. I think those are the most fun kind of characters to play. I think they're harder to play because you do have to be so on top of the moment, I think, and you have to really have that feel for how things are going with your audience. You know, comedy is always a very live effect, and it will never be the same every night. But I think that's a part of the joy of it. It keeps the show from ever getting boring or anything like that. But I like serious work, too. I really do.
Okay.
I've been moving into the film realm a little more this year. That's where my classes have been gearing this school year. And in that realm, I learned, I think I really like doing serious work. I don't think it's as easy for me to be funny on camera without, like, the live energy of someone also there. Because there's no, you know, there's no energy for me to read. That's something
right.
that I learned. So I've been really liking serious work as far as camera is concerned.
That actually brings me to a question I meant to ask earlier that I was just thinking about asking you, and that is you talked about having to continue your college career on Zoom because of COVID or you know, just having to change the direction and shape of it a little bit. With theater, especially with live theater, a lot of you do in terms of how you shape and change your career depends on audience feedback, right? And how you weren't really getting a whole lot of that.
Right, right. I think a lot of even just the training of theater, you know, even though it's an educational setting and it's supposed to be a very safe space when we do any of these performances in class, any kind of acting work is still always going to be, like, about building a deeper confidence in yourself and building a lot more, you know, just that you have to break a lot of barriers in yourself to leave, you know, a lot more vulnerable aspects of yourself, you know, every bit of you available and be able to give that to the character, to your work. And that is not easy for a lot of people. It's not easy for me. And so, I definitely think the live aspect of training is really important because you need to be able to have those ouchy moments where you realize something got too personal and you have to experience something to realize when you're not comfortable going there. And I really appreciate the environment that I had to do that at Florida Atlantic University. I really attribute a lot of my growth acting-wise to my professors there because they really did well with me. They had blessed hands on me in class, I will say.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about your role that's coming up. So, you know, like I said, stay safe, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And if you have questions for TJ or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Tomorrow, we will have civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson back on with us. Got to get caught up on a lot of stuff, and you know you're not going to be able to silence him tomorrow. So we look forward to having him back. Also, you know, this is our third week, so we have our Tech Thursday guru, Burton Tulsa, on Thursday, and Friday in the Garden with Robert Bouton on Friday, so make sure you tune in. In the meantime, we are back talking with T.J. Persley, who is taking on a familiar role to some. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing and why you're making that commute back down to South Florida from Central Florida?
Yes, I'm doing a production of Bob Marley's Three Little Birds. And that is a show written by Bob and Sindela Marley as kind of a tribute to Bob's son, Ziggy Marley. It's kind of based in that Three Little Birds song. The whole theme of the show is that everything's going to be all right. You know, my character is incredibly timid and scared of the dangers out in the world. There's so much trouble in the world. And so the show is about me kind of getting my confidence back a bit there. And, it's my first professional gig. We started promotion last week. I'm going back today for a rehearsal, and we will start music next week. So I'm really excited to do that. I can't give a whole lot of details much more than that about the production, granted.
Right.
I am under contract.
Right, exactly. I know you're still navigating a lot of stuff, but congratulations on the role. What drew you to it? Or is it was that thing that you just told me, I just want to work?
Well, drew me to this one?
About, yeah.
Yeah. You know, this audition actually kind of came my way a little earlier. And I had just kind of stated that Miami was a bit too far of a commute for me. You know, gas is ever rising. And I wasn't sure that I could do the production necessarily. But my vocal coach, a wonderful woman, Carol Fontel, she works in Boca and she plays for a lot of our classes at FAU. She's our accompanist that we use more than not. And she actually suggested that I go in for this role kind of earnestly and convinced me to do it. And I'm really glad that she did. I'm very, very glad that she did.
Cool. So, when is that take place? Where people can see it, when and where?
It opens,
or can you talk about
June 22nd.
Oh, okay.
I can't talk about this. You can buy your tickets now.
Okay.
We run June 22nd through July 9th at the Adrian Arts Center. So if you're interested in seeing me, you can get your tickets at artscenter.org. That is ARSHT.org. And get them soon because some of the shows are already selling out.
Oh, wow. Good. How are you feeling about it?
I'm really excited. I'm nervous. You know, it's a new endeavor for me, but I'm really excited. I can't, I don't know. I don't want to go in with a whole lot of like predispositions about.
Yeah.
Preconceived notions about it. I will say that in my first meetings with them, you know, I can really feel the difference of that. This is definitely a professional production, and that they have the actor's safety and well-being and mental well-being at their top priority. down to everybody's contract, you know? So mm-hmm. I feel very supported in this environment. I really like the company of people that I'm being exposed to this kind of, greater audience than I ever have, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot more secure with this company doing it.
Well, and then, but not to put pressure on you, but, you know, you've got that name associated with this production. They're going to probably be a lot of.
Oh, I know.
so you kind of.
Oh, I know.
Just your first time professionally out the gate, you really kind of stepped into it a little bit. But, I think you've got what it takes. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to really work on trying. And this is in Miami, is that correct?
It is.
Okay, that sounds like a weekend getaway for me and my honey. So, you know, I hope to get down there. But like you said, I guess I got to grab those tickets up soon. So, yeah. So now, looking back and looking forward, what type of I guess you could say, advice do you have for the new freshmen coming into to not only theater, but college as a whole? And especially, I guess, one of the things that I'm proud of with you is you saw where there were, you kind of almost, when you're going into a university or an established institution, you kind of almost don't want to rock the boat, but you saw something that needed changing and you decided to step up and along with your colleagues and make that change. What kind of advice do you give the new crop of freshmen coming into college in the fall?
I would say to make the absolute most of your college experience. Because at the end of the day, what you're leaving school with is the experience and the work that you did there. And you will be shocked where it will come back to aid you. I think make every friend that you have, always treat others as you want it to be treated, because you want someone to do that to you, and you want someone to refer to others of you in the same way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very niche experience, I think, going into school for theater, because I think it's definitely a very different environment than most college majors are going into. And I think we are our own community a lot, so that experience is definitely going to be different. But I think college will enrich and surprise anyone in all kinds of ways. You know, I thought I knew a lot about myself when I went into school. And just having the space, I guess, to spread my wings, I think just taught me quite a bit about myself and what I really wanted to be doing. Because, you know, your ideas are going to change as soon, you know, when you meet people professionally, when you meet people and see people in the field that you want to be working in the ways that they have done it. You know, you're going to learn all kinds of new ways, and you might have a whole new plan about what you want to do, or even if you want the same degree by the time you leave. But don't discount any experience that you have. You know, do everything to the fullest, because you never know what you might get out of it. You never know what you might take away from it. And engage. Engage in everything around you. I'm so glad that I kind of jumped in head first. When I got to FAU, I think when I got to school, the TJ that came to FAU my freshman year never would have had, you know, the confidence or integrity to make some of the moves that I was able to towards the end of my college career. But a mm-hmm. lot of that I attribute to the people I met. You know, I came to FAU, and for one thing, I had never met so many other students of color that were
mm-hmm.
That cared about the arts and theater the way that I did, and that alone, I think, it did a lot of healing for me that I didn't know I needed. to feel welcomed in this space. And I think I needed to see other students that looked like me to, you know, to agree with me and have those same kind of mindset, so that I wouldn't think I was crazy if I see something or whatever. I'm not just a conspiracist or whatever, that I think something happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see something, say something, I think, because even if your actions cannot fix everything for you immediately in this moment, you will feel so much better knowing that you fixed it for whatever student comes behind you.
Sir, be safe. Thank you for your time. Thank you for talking to the little people. And I wish you well. I really appreciate the time, and congratulations again. And just like I said, have a safe trip there. And one of the things you mentioned in terms of being engaged and doing your best, you know, because you never know who's watching, so you have to always kind of be on your A game. But I'm glad you persevered, and best of, you know, God bless you on your future. Okay.
God bless you, Penny. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Love you. God bless. And thank you all for listening. I will talk with you all tomorrow, God willing. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for taking the time. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Up your